Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Podcasting Network. This is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is
www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, no spaces, all small letters, www.moresureword.com.
At the website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and grow from faith to faith as we press into this mystery of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints, reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. And there is no other answer. No other answer at all. Hallelujah. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Hallelujah. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. Keep that in mind, you'll be all right. Hallelujah. That's from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 23, and chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. And this is from David Wilkerson. This is from David Wilkerson. He calls it the most important issue of this hour. Christians all over the world have a sense we're living in the final days. The mounting crisis, the growing fears, the signs of great shaking, all these things are evident even to secular commentators. And now for every follower of Jesus, the question of the hour is this. Will my faith endure what is coming? I believe the most important issue of this hour has to do with what is called enduring faith. Simply put, will the faith of God's people endure the terrible shaking of all things, the intense trials and testings to come, which no previous generation has faced? Jesus promised that he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. When Christ spoke this, he had just described the frightful trials to come upon his disciples. False messiahs, wars, rumors of wars, nation pitted against nation, upheavals in the natural world, earthquakes and pestilence, persecution and martyrdom. When those days arrive, Jesus said, many shall come in my name and shall deceive many. What would be the impact of all these things on the church, those who call themselves by his name? Jesus stated very clearly, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Already our nation is feeling the tremors of the frightful shaking. Right now, America is facing an economic perfect storm. This past March of 2008, the American financial system nearly collapsed. Bear Stearns, one of the nation's top financial institutions, had to be rescued from bankruptcy by the Federal Bank. The Wall Street Journal, a newspaper not prone to alarmism, blared the startling headline, "Fed Saves American Financial System from Collapse." The Fed had to pour $30 billion into the deal initially to stave off a panic that would have sunk this nation into the worst economic depression in its history. To date, more than $300 billion has been put into the system to save it. 10 years ago, David Wilkerson wrote a book entitled America's Last Call on the Brink of Financial Holocaust. And in that book, he warned of the following events. There would be a meltdown of the bond market. God's judgment would strike suddenly on the U.S. economy. A brief false sense of prosperity would precede the coming economic collapse. This short flicker of prosperity would be God's final mercy call before the chastening to come. There would be a real estate meltdown with a market made up of mostly sellers and very few buyers. Multitudes would lose their homes to repossession. There would be an ominous rise in homosexual power. A sudden storm of confusion would take place on Wall Street. God's watchmen and prophets would be silenced. The U.S. dollar would collapse. America would lose control of its economy. To date, China has loaned America hundreds of billions of dollars, over a trillion. Some estimate as much as $1.5 trillion. That's $1,500 billion. We have become the world's number one debtor nation, no longer in control of our finances. Along with many other watchmen, I see the greatest shaking of all is still to come. What we're talking about and what we're about to witness upon this earth will affect every person living. The world is going to see a temporary calm with relative stability, causing many to say the crisis is past. But in truth, the real panic will still be ahead of us. Right now, political madness is gripping America. Think about it. It is utter madness for politicians to promise all kinds of new multi-billion dollar programs while the Fed is scrambling to keep the nation's head above the rising flood of debt. Yet for the Church of Jesus Christ, the real issue is not economic collapse. It isn't even about who presides over the nation. Rather, it's all about enduring faith. Indeed, this one issue has to be foremost in the minds of all who claim to serve Jesus. I ask you, Do you at present have an abiding trust in the Lord that will hold up when the world descends into chaos? Or will you waver in times of affliction as the fearful things Jesus said would come begin to appear on the earth? When that hour comes to pass, will your love for the Lord endure? Or will it grow cold, as Jesus predicted would happen to so many believers? I ask these questions not to judge or condemn anyone concerning his or her walk with Christ. I ask them only because these are questions Jesus put to all who would choose to follow him. Christ asked, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Let me give you the context for Jesus' question here. He had just told the story of a persistent woman who asked a judge to rule in her favor and bring justice to her cause. And Jesus uses her as an example of the kind of persistent, enduring faith he is looking for, the kind that calls upon God in times of trial and trusts him to fulfill his promises. Christ knew such enduring faith would be the only kind able to sustain his people in the times to come. When Jesus addresses the issues of enduring faith, he speaks those words, "Belief will endure but for a while." In other words, when their prayers are not answered, when the deadlines for their requests are not met, they will fall into unbelief. Why? Their faith has no roots. "He hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended." Too often, when afflictions begin showing up in such believers' lives, they become offended. You've probably heard such offense expressed by Christians who have faced dire afflictions. They have read God's word. They have claimed certain promises. They have prayed earnestly, but still their trial continues. And over time, because they have seen an answer to their prayers, they become offended by the word they've been clinging to. At some point, a seed of unbelief is planted in their heart, and soon they begin to question God's faithfulness. They can't shake the nagging thought that the Lord has failed to keep his promises to them. They trusted in him for a while. Whenever you talked with them, their conversation was full of faith, and they testified of God's trustworthiness, but now you begin to hear little doubts in their speech. Instead of faith, you hear questions, remarks that betray an inner unbelief. Make no mistake, Satan feeds those growing doubts, and over time, prayer becomes a burden to such believers. Their love for God's word begins to fade until they never pick up their Bible anymore. Eventually, their passion for Christ is reduced to a flicker. Some who hear what we're saying are in a dangerous place with their faith. And maybe what's been said here has struck a chord in your soul. I must ask you, have you allowed seeds of unbelief in your heart? Do you now have serious questions regarding God's faithfulness instead of worshiping him? Do you now doubt him? Or will you make the sacrifice of praise? "Lord, why haven't you intervened for me? Why have you allowed such confusion in my marriage and in my family? You've put on me more than I'm able to bear." Such an attitude can lead to a hardened heart and eventually spiritual deadness. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, "Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." The Greek for hardness here indicates suffering, difficult afflictions. What does Paul say about these things to Timothy? "Endure them. Endure them, son. You're a soldier in the Lord's army. You've been trained to undergo hardship in spiritual battle." We see this reflected in the Old Testament as well. We're told the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. The prophet Hananiah told King Asa the same thing that the Lord told Zechariah in chapter 4, verse 10. So we have the two witnesses of how important it is, this principle of how the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. The Hebrew word for perfect means wholly given to him in trust. Think of it. God looks down upon the whole earth, searching diligently for that man or woman of faith who is wholly given to him, completely, totally in trust. Whenever the Lord finds such a servant, he says of that person, "This beloved one is holding fast to his faith and confidence in me, and therefore I will show myself strong to him. He's going to know my power, to see my strong arm revealed on his behalf." The words in this verse were first spoken to King Asa, a ruler of Judah, by the prophet Hanani. The searching eyes of the Lord had come to King Asa, who was loved because he did what was right before God's eyes. Asa was, by every measure, a righteous man who trusted God. He walked in faith, bringing each matter before the Lord so he might receive divine direction. The king was a devoted man of prayer, wholly dependent upon God, and his actions proved it. Asa abolished idolatry in the land, tearing down all false gods. He abolished witchcraft, sodomy, and prostitution, and he built up the cities with strong towers, high walls, and secure gates. And under this faithful king's rule, the nation of Judah prospered and was blessed, and Asa was faithful to remind the people that all their blessings had come to them because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. It must have been a wonderful time to be an Israelite living in Judah. Try to imagine the atmosphere in Judah during those times. Try to think how it was during those years under Asa's righteous rule. There was a peace all around, with everything in divine order. The people were blessed with full employment and abundant harvests because God was in their midst. No one had to go off to war because both the king and the people were seeking after the Lord. There was no call for judgment because there were people who were an obedient people. But one day, suddenly, the peaceful environment changed. A messenger brought to Asa a frightful report. A million-man army was spied heading toward Judah. The Ethiopians and Libyans had combined forces, and now they had a huge militia. It was made up of 300 chariots, multitudes of horsemen, and a million-man infantry, all racing toward Judah and bent on its destruction. On the very day prior to this, Asa had called on the people to give thanks to the Lord for the peace and blessings they were enjoying because they had sought him. And there came out against them overnight. Judah was at war, facing 1 million hostile soldiers. So what does a trusting servant of God do when facing such a dilemma? How does he react? Will he panic? Will he turn to the arm of man for help, or place everything into the Lord's hands in total trust? God has his searching eye on Asa in this critical hour. What was the righteous king's reaction? Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, "Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee." So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Tell me, what does Asa's reaction here say to us, the Church of Jesus Christ today? This godly man had been given the most horrible, frightful news. He was facing an army that had incomprehensible odds against him. And his survival, and much less his victory, was literally beyond comprehension. Beloved, the meaning of this passage is clear. It shows us that victory, impossible victory, is preserved for those who put their trust completely, totally, wholly in the Lord. This awful crisis had fallen on Asa and Judah during their most wonderful time of seeking the Lord, when God was smiling on them with his favor. I can't explain why the Lord allows attacks on his godly servants, but I do know Scripture warns us to expect fiery trials to test our faith. And yet even so, we're told God will find pure gold in our enduring faith. Surely the Lord was pleased with Asa's faith in this crisis. Still, he sent a prophet to warn him. Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. The prophet added that this had been true for God's people throughout their history. In times past, whenever there was no peace, but only vexation and trouble, each time God's people turned back to seek him, he was found of them. This prophecy to Judah is a warning to the church of Jesus Christ today as well. One glorious victory of faith is not enough. More great trials will come to pass in the life of every believer. Indeed, the more you seek the Lord, the greater your call, the deeper your walk with him, you'll also encounter further afflictions and sufferings, ever-increasing tests of faith. And these will continue unto the end. Scripture assures us. So what is God's message to us in all of this? Simply this. We are not to be shaken in faith when even greater tests come upon us. Beloved, please know that I do not speak this word to you lightly. What I'm preaching in this message has been born from my own personal crucible of great sufferings, hard times, and crushing trials of faith. Don't misunderstand. I'm not complaining. I can testify that I have seen the loving hand of God in every trial and tribulation throughout my years. And I have gone through personal fiery trials. And through it all, I've experienced eclipses of faith where the Lord's face seemed completely hidden from me during my ordeal. And yet, after all these years of affliction, here I stand, testifying that God has brought me through each trial with peace and his song of victory. And yet, this is not the end of the story. After 36 years of walking in trust and enduring trials faithfully, Asa grieved God's heart. Another terrible crisis arose in Asa's life, and this time, the righteous king of Judah lost his faith. Up to that point, Asa had lived as a trusting man of God. He was a vibrant example of devoted faith and zeal, seeking the Lord continually. His ministry over Judah had brought about a powerful spiritual revival in the land, establishing God's righteous rule. Then another sudden crisis befell Asa and the nation of Judah. This time, word came to the king that Jerusalem was being blockaded by an enemy army. All trade routes to Judah had been shut down by this foe. The town of Ramah, just 5 miles outside Jerusalem, had been invaded, captured, and fortified with all roads shut. No one could go in or come out. The blockade could cripple Judah's economy. Something had to be done quickly, or the people would starve. So what did King Asa do? This time, he did not go to the Lord. In fact, Asa didn't even pray or consult his spiritual advisors. Instead, he panicked. He didn't just put his trust in man. He relied on his own enemy. Asa turned to the wicked king Ben-Hadad of Syria, Judah's arch enemy, to seek military aid. In this way, Asa bribed his way out of the conflict. He stripped the nation's treasury of all silver and gold and sent it to King Ben-Hadad with this message. Here's all our gold and silver. It's yours. Just get this invader off my back. deliver me from my attacker. How utterly tragic. It is always a great tragedy when godly people who have trusted God before the world's eyes suddenly fail in their belief, turning to the flesh in a time of crisis. And the world responds with mockery, saying, "Is this what happens after spending years of believing in God? Is this how faith ends in shipwreck? How foolish that you ever believed in God in the first place." Now another prophet was sent to Asa with this word from the Lord: "Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is this host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. And therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." Let me sum up the whole issue of enduring faith. Here is enduring faith. It is the committing of all things under God's hands. Enduring faith says to the Lord, "I cast every event, every future success into your care, and I hold you to your promise to commit all that you are, all your omniscience and all your omnipotent strength to preserve me." Whenever we face afflictions and persecution, Satan comes to us whispering fears and lies. How are you going to make it through this crisis? What will you do now? If God is faithful, how could he allow this to happen to you? How could he put your loved ones at risk this way? What will become of you, your family, your job, your ministry? But enduring faith rises up and answers the enemy's lies. Devil, you're asking the wrong questions. The question for me right now is not how I'm going to make it. It's not what shall become of me and mine. I've already placed everything, all afflictions, all trials, everything that concerns me into the loving Father's hands. I have trusted all future events to him, and he has proved himself faithful time and time and time again. He is trustworthy with my future. Yes, when Satan wants to bring up the past, and even a very frightful present, it's wise to speak of the future to the devil. Speak of the devil's future and your future. And with this established in our hearts, the question for us then becomes clear. The question for us is, how can I love and serve my Lord better? There you go. How can I love and serve my Lord better? How shall I serve others as myself? Who can I serve in the name of the Lord? You see, enduring faith means casting ourselves wholly, completely, totally on the will of God, as Jesus describes in the Sermon on the Mount. In short, we are to ask God, and we are to seek God. We are to seek God and his concerns first. And the desires of our heart will then be given to us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Enduring faith declares, I have no will of my own. Rather, his will be done. No more personal agenda for me. No more playing God by trying to solve my own problems or those of others. Holy Spirit, keep my mind stayed on my Lord and his promises. With such faith, we'll be ready for whatever the present hour brings. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. That's a good direction from Brother David Wilkerson. Hallelujah. Now, here are some words from the Lord, who said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." Faith is the victory that overcomes our fears, and it is a command. 365 times from Genesis to Revelation, the Lord commands, "Fear not." After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee. Neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, and go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And Joshua said unto them, Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong, and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto you. Fear not, thou shalt not die. And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart, and turn ye not aside. For then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people, for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And David said to Solomon his son, Be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And say unto him, Take heed, and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted. For these two tales of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria, and the son of Remaliah. Say unto them that are of a fearful heart, Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and you men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. Fear not, For thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded. For thou shalt not be put into shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth. Thou shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more, for thy Maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. But fear not thou, O my servant Jacob, and be not dismayed, O Israel. For behold, I will save thee from far off, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return, and be in rest and at ease, and none shall make him afraid. Fear thou not, O Jacob, my servant, saith the Lord, for I am with thee. For I will make a full end of all the nations whither I have driven thee. But I will not make a full end of thee, but correct thee in measure. Yet will I not leave thee wholly unpunished. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidest, Fear not, O Lord. Thou hast pleaded the cause of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. O Lord, thou hast seen my wrong. Judge thou my cause. Thou hast seen all their vengeance and all their imaginations against me. Thou hast heard their reproach, O Lord, and all their imaginations against me. The lips of those that rose up against me and their devices against me all the day. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. And said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, and be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken this unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit. The fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, in the first month. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right. And fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. Let me say this again, because it is very, very important that we understand this. And I will come near to you to judgment. And I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right. And fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, and it shall be even as it was told me. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. and have the keys of hell and of death. Only be strong and of good courage. Fear not. It's the command of the Lord, 365 times from Genesis to Revelation. You're going to make a choice, and it is a choice. Will you choose fear or faith? Will you choose faith and trust in the Lord? You will get fear otherwise. And if we walk in the fear of the Lord, if the fear of the Lord is in us, if we have learned the fear of the Lord, and it is learned, if we will get a cup full, fill up our cup, and walk in the fear of the Lord, we'll have no other fear. Fear not. Only be strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Podcasting Network. This is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is
www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. C-O-M. That's all one word, no spaces, all small letters, www.moresureword.com.
At the website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and grow from faith to faith as we press into this mystery of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints, reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.